Appendix Part 4, Orientation and Gravity Issues. Orientation. Orientation is using all the senses to understand where your body is in relation to other objects in your environment. For some, this is more challenging than for others. Folks need to use their senses of sound, odor, temperature, tactile clue, or kinesthetic perception. In addition, asking analytical questions such as, where am I? Where is the object? What order or process is needed to find or keep track of the object? What landmarks or clues do I have or need? To work efficiently, it is very important to stay oriented in one's workspace. Whether using a tray or other surface, consistent placement of an item is important. As a result, the items will be found without thinking or over-searching. I tell my students, have a home for the items you use so you can find them, or move around your works rather than moving your work, and don't plant your feet, move your feet. For example, in sewing, keep fabric still on the table while laying out and cutting out the pattern pieces. The reason is to stay oriented to the placement of the pattern pieces. In order to prevent disorientation, move your feet so your body is moving around the workspace with the fabric and pattern layout kept in place. Problem-solving questions. Where did the notion or tool being used go? If one is left-handed, look first on your left. If right-handed, look first on your right. While working, what can be done to keep the supplies from getting mixed up? Be consistent in placement of supplies in containers or in trays. In addition to the placement, label similar items or use different shaped or textured containers. What can be done to keep from losing one's place in a needle arts project? Think of an appropriate landmark to help keep your place. For example, use a safety pin to mark the starting point or a safety pin to help keep count of stitches. When using the sewing machine, why does the hand feel heat above the presser foot? The light is on. Where did the notion drop? Listen to the direction the item fell. Start searching in that direction. Why are different sounds heard when the item dropped? Differences of materials and surfaces give off different sounds. For example, a penny will sound different from a dime when they drop because of size and metal. In addition, if the coins drop on a carpet versus a wood floor, there will also be a difference in sound. Search technique. Searching for an object is successful when using one of two systematic search patterns with the hands or the body. The concentric circular pattern is moving in a counterclockwise direction or clockwise direction, in addition to using the positions of the clock. The other search pattern is movement in a grid pattern that is moving in a straight line from one edge to another, followed with moving a short distance forward and repeating the side-to-side motion. Then cover the same area again, moving from top to bottom. This forms a grid or even plaid pattern with the movement. For a dropped item, localize the sound to get an understanding of where your item might have fallen. For a flat surface, use the search technique with a flat palm and fingertips slightly curled while touching the table or floor surface. Move both hands simultaneously in slow circular motions to locate item. Start at your feet and then move outward from your body. The same motions may be done with a magnet when picking up dropped pins or other metal objects. A grid pattern may also be used with flat palm and fingertips slightly curled to prevent knocking something too hard. Slow moving with curled fingertips helps to avoid passing over your search item. Also, use the differences of texture to understand what your fingers are feeling. In summary, keep fingertips slightly curled with slow, methodical circular or grid patterns in order to not overlook items being searched for. Haste doubles your search time. Work with gravity. Gravity can be your friend or your enemy. Working on a stable surface is easier than working in air. Keep work on table or stable surface as much as possible. It is especially helpful to have a stable work surface for fabric when cutting or sewing. While cutting out a pattern, try to cut each piece following close to the pattern edge while staying attached to the main cloth to prevent difficult trimming later. The weight of the larger amount of fabric surrounding the pattern piece helps to keep the fabric from sliding out from between the scissor blades. This makes cutting easier than having to go back for trimming. Gravity can work against you while sewing. This happens when the fabric hangs off the table, gets caught on a table corner, or is heavy in your lap. Also, while sewing, take care to not let the weight of your hand or arm hold the fabric back. The fabric needs to go smoothly and consistently under the presser foot with no resistance. Problem-solving questions. Why does the fabric keep falling off the table? Keep all the fabric on the table, even if it needs to be folded to be on the table. Then fighting gravity won't be a problem. Why is the seam allowance not accurate, even though the guide finger made sure the fabric edge was even with the guide tape? Make sure the fabric is not dragging on a corner of the table, or the fabric is not hanging off the table in your lap, or a pin is holding up the movement, thus steering the fabric off course. Patterns adapted for visually impaired as tactile patterns. When it comes to patterns, I prefer using the heavy brown paper, often called countertop paper, instead of the tissue paper or craft paper. Most people, whether they have neuropathy or not, can feel the brown paper edge. Also, countertop paper produces a reusable pattern that can be used many times without much mutilation. For the pattern to be tactile, make all patterns or transfer all tissue patterns onto heavy brown paper, adding adaptive tactile markings. The adaptive tactile markings are identifiable by masking tape, dotted raised lines, or sharp creased raised lines, and labeled in user's preferred adaptive labeling method. Masking tape on a straight edge of the pattern highlights the fold of fabric placement for the pattern piece and reinforces circles and notches. A spoked tracing wheel marks a dotted raised line that highlights grain lines, dart lines, pleat lines, and placement of pattern pieces. A scribed line marks a fold line inside the pattern rather than on a pattern edge. The following are needed supplies for adapting patterns. Brown countertop paper, at least 36 inches wide, or brown paper shopping bags. A serrated or spoke tracing wheel. Scribe or stiletto. Soft board 36 inches by 18 inches or larger, quarter inch single hole punch, 1 inch masking tape, large manila envelopes 10 inches by 15 inches for pattern storage, yardstick and ruler, straight pins or weights, 8 inch paper cutting scissors, small 3-inch scissors for cutting taped notches, or a pattern notcher available from Nancy's Notions. Sharpie pen for large print labeling of pattern pieces. Clear 1/2-inch adhesive tape to braille labels for pattern pieces used with brailler and labeling tape holder or slate and stylus. The Dymo brand labeling tape has the best adhesive. Audible recording device of choice for pattern instructions. Making the adapted pattern. To begin, fit tissue pattern to person for garment patterns. I recommend Linda Maynard's book, Demystifying Fit, on CD that can be ordered at phone number 408-362-1864. With the fit changes first made to the tissue pattern, transfer the tissue pattern pieces onto the heavier paper. Pin or weigh down the pattern pieces. Cut around each piece, including the 5/8 inch seam allowance. Once the pieces are cut out, make all special markings before removing the tissue pattern. Special markings. Be consistent with all the markings being on the same side of the pattern. Use the spoke tracing wheel against the yardstick to trace the grain line markings, putting the grain line arrow tip only at the bottom of the grain line marking. This gives bottom or nap direction. If there are pleats or darts or pocket outlines, also mark these with the spoke tracing wheel. Any inside folds, crease with a scribe or stiletto alongside a straight edge. Place one or two layers of masking tape on the outer straight folded edges. Also, mark any notch, square, and circle spots with a double layer of masking tape on the marked dotted raised line side of the pattern. Use the 1/4 inch hole punch for the circles. Use small scissors to cut out the inverted notches and squares. For sleeve, a notch can be added to the center top edge in place of the top center circle. This makes it easier in the sewing process later. The masking tape reinforces these points as well as makes them easier to locate textually. Make all markings before removing tissue pattern. Double-check the significant markings of the tissue pattern to be sure none are missed on the adapted pattern. Once all the markings are completed, remove the tissue pattern and label the pattern pieces. Put labels on the pattern's marked or raised line side, being sure to note cut 1 or 2, front or back, etc. Use a Sharpie pen in large print or preferred adaptive label. Before putting the pattern in the envelope, write in large print and or braille on the outside of the envelope the pattern number and description along with fabric suitability, yardage for particular size, and notions needed. Recording instructions. Make a clear, concise, audible recording of what is on the pattern envelope along with the instructions describing each pattern piece's name, shape, and markings before placing the pattern pieces in the envelope. Continue to describe the layout of pattern pieces and steps of the construction process in the recording. Remember to mention the following. Mark the wrong sides of each fabric piece with large number 3 safety pin and use small number 1 safety pins for the notches, squares, and circles before removing any pattern piece. Remove pattern from fabric as the pattern piece is needed to sew. Remove small safety pins just before sewing the seams. Include any helpful hints such as sew 5/8 inch seam following the right edge of the guide tape, or sew 1/2 inch seam following the right edge of the guide tape with the needle off centered to the far right, or sew 1/4 inch seam following the left edge of the guide tape with the needle off centered to the far left. Label the recording, and when possible, put the recording into the pattern envelope. The pattern is ready for use. Recommended sewing machines for the blind and visually impaired. The sewing machine must not be computerized nor have a LED screen readout. The following models are ones that I know have dials and are blind friendly. Current models, Bernina 1008. Past models, Bernina 830 from the 1970s. The newer 830 is computerized, so you don't want that one. Bernina 930, Bernina 1000, Bernina 1001, Bernina 1006, Bernina 1004, Bernina 1010, Bernina 1030, or 1031. Pfaff 1042, 1142, 1523, 1528, or 1540. Or Pfaff Select 3.0 or 4.0. Janome 415, 500, or 521. Viking 116 or 118. And Singer Featherweight. Threading a hand sewing needle non-visually. Supplies needed. Small tray containing thread, a number 7 to number 9 long eye needle such as embroidery or crewel needle, needle threader, pincushion, scissors. Directions. 1. Knot the thread. For all threaders, first knot and measure thread and arm's length. To knot the thread, use one of the following techniques. Option number 1 for beginning knot. Hold the thread end between index finger and thumb, the very end of the thread between the index finger and thumb. Wrap thread around index finger 1 to 3 times. Slide your index finger down your thumb toward your palm to twist and roll the threads. When the loop is off your index finger, pull the rolled thread end taut to make the loop smaller so a knot is created. Option number 2 for beginning knot. Hold the needle between your thumb and index finger of left hand. Loop the thread around the sharp tip end of the needle to form a circle. Pinch the thread tail with left index finger and thumb against the needle. With the right hand, make 3 or more wraps with the thread around the needle tip. Slide wraps under left fingers and hold gently while pulling needle with right hand away from fingers holding wraps. Keep pulling needle till you reach the end of the thread tail with a knot. Number 2, cut thread. Cut thread off spool after the thread end is knotted. Measure thread and arm's length to prevent tangles while sewing. Place knotted end of thread in a designated place on sewing tray or put knot in your mouth. This makes hunting for the knot easier to find when ready to put the knot into the needle threader. The next step is to use a needle threader. Number 3, threading the needle. Put needle point into something stable, such as a pincushion. Then use one of the following needle threaders' particular threading method. Threader with wire loops on a handle. Put the threader into the needle's eye before putting the thread into the threader. Roll the needle between the index finger and thumb to find the flat sides. This is where the eye is. Have the flat portion of the eye face out like a window or tunnel between your fingers. Use fingers to guide and aim the wire loop through the needle's eye. Once through the eye, take the thread knot and rub knot between the wires to push the thread partially through the loop, or put a straight pin through the knot to help guide the thread through the wire loop. Once the thread is through the wire loop, let go of the thread. Hold onto the needle point base with one hand, and the other hand is to pull the threader out of the needle's eye until the thread is out of the threader. Keep pulling the thread using an up and down motion. Keep the threader below the top of the needle to prevent the knot from dragging against the thread in the eye. Keep pulling till the knot stops at the top of the needle and the thread is out of the threader. Now take the thread's unknotted end, match to the knotted end, and tie the two together into a knot and put the needle in the middle of the thread length. If it is difficult to tie the two ends together, then tie a separate knot in the unknotted end, then match the two knots together, putting the needle in the middle of the thread length. The needle and thread are ready for sewing. 4-inch looped threader. Put the thread knot through the 4-inch loop first. Once the thread is through the wire loop, let go of the thread. Put the non-loop end of the threader into the needle's eye. To find the flat sides of the needle's eye, roll the needle between the index finger and thumb. Have the flat portion of the eye face like a window or tunnel between your fingers. Use fingers to guide and aim the wire through the eye. And you're going to guide the non-loop end through the eye. Once through the eye, hold on to the needle point base with one hand, and the other hand is to pull the threader through the needle's eye. Keep pulling using an up and down motion. At the same time, keep the threader below the top of the needle so the knot does not drag against the thread in the eye. Keep pulling till the knot stops at the top of the needle and the thread is out of the threader. Now, take the thread's unknotted end first and match to the knotted end. Next, tie the two together into a knot. Put the needle in the middle of the thread length. If it is difficult to tie the two ends together, then tie a separate knot in the unknotted end. Match the two knots together, putting the needle in the middle of the thread length. The needle and thread are ready for sewing. Hand sewing finishing knots. Option number 1, finishing knot. Pick several threads of fabric where a thread strand comes up out of the fabric. Do a small back stitch. Pull needle halfway through. Take loop of thread from the back of needle and loop over the tip of the needle. Pull the needle completely through and repeat a second time. Option number 2, finishing knot. Pick several threads of fabric where a thread comes up out of the fabric. Pull needle all the way through. Repeat this in the same place 2 more times. Stitching in the same place a total of 3 times. Cutting thread at end of project. Cut thread away from fabric by sliding the sharp scissor blade back and forth against the thread close to the fabric. This way, a hole is not accidentally cut into your fabric with the tip of your scissors.